Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. In an apartment on West 50th Street in New York City, for the past 15 years, acting coach and writer Peter Mataliano has been celebrating Christmas with gifts for two little kids. They're named Mary and Alfred. That's normal enough, but Mary and Alfred aren't his kids or even grandkids or even alive. They're two children who lived in that same apartment more than 100 years ago. Mataliano only knows about the brother and sister because of some letters he discovered in that apartment from Alfred and Mary to Santa Claus. And that opened a window into the past and started a relationship of a kind. Peter Mataliano joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. Tell us what you found and how you found it.
Sure. I moved into this apartment 16 years ago, and the fireplace had been bricked up. I think in the 20s, New York made it illegal for coal-burning fireplaces, so they all had to be bricked up. Well, when I moved into the building, I saw that some of my neighbors had opened up the fireplace, put flowers in there or whatever. So I thought, why not, you know, open it up? So my brother, Richard, who is a contractor, I asked him to come over. And before we opened up the fireplace, we were joking around, what are we going to find in there, you know, Westie money, or I said, anything other than bones, it'll be fine. And I did find a coal bill from 1911, and that was pretty much it. So we're cleaning out the stuff, and I'm taking bricks out, and my brother yells into me, you're not going to believe this. I come in, and he found this piece of white loose leaf paper that you still use today, and it was little Alfred's note to Santa from 1905. And so we said, well, let's look and see what else might be in here. And sure enough, on a little blue parchment envelope, there was another letter to Santa from his sister, written in 1907, to Santa in Reindeer Land. And what was wonderful about it is she had actually made a little handmade stamp and drew a little reindeer on it.
And dated it so that you have the historical record.
Alfred's was written on December 24th, 1905, and Mary's was written on December 24th, 1907.
So what did you do when you found him? What did you say?
Well, to tell you the truth, Alfred's was nice to find. Mary's, when I read her letter, I still remember, I was thunderstruck. It was so touching.
Well, why don't we start with Alfred's? Can you read
sure.
it for me?
Alfred's was very simple. Dear Santa Claus, I would like a drum and a hook and ladder with an extensionisting ladder on it.
Extensionisting.
Extensionisting ladder on it. Alfred McGann. And so I said, okay.
Easy enough. A little kid wants a fire truck.
Yes, with an extensionisting ladder.
Okay. Now, you brought Mary's with you, I see. Would you read it for us?
Sure. December 24th, 1907. Dear Santa Claus, I am very glad that you are coming around tonight. My little brother would like you to bring him a wagon, which I know that you cannot afford. I will ask you to bring him whatever you think best. Please bring me something nice, what you think best. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from your loving friend, Mary McGann. P.S. Please do not forget the poor. And Todd, when I read that, it just shot an arrow through me that this little girl of nine, I found out she was nine, had already the generosity first to ask for Santa to bring a present for her brother rather than her, and then living in a family that couldn't afford a wagon to please do not forget the poor. Right then and there, on the spot, I said, somehow I have to do something for these kids.
This has moved you in a way that you've undertaken, you know, efforts to find Mary and Alfred. And I mentioned that you're celebrating in your house with gifts for children who no longer exist. Why do you do this? What has it said to you?
The generosity of this little girl just hit me so much. I said, I must do something for these kids that I knew probably had passed away 30, 40 years ago. And so I went out and I bought a little Raggedy Ann doll for Mary, and I bought a little dump truck. I couldn't find a hook and ladder with an extensionisting ladder, so I came up with a dump truck. But I did also find a little American Flyer wagon Christmas ornament, so I bought that. And so on Christmas time, I put them under the letters on my mantle.
When you think about their lives in that apartment, obviously poor because of the sentiments that 9-year-old girl is expressing in that letter to Santa, how do you envision their lives in the apartment and around it? What do you think about?
Well, we were able to find out the father passed away in 1904 when he was only 35. His mother came to live with Mary's mother, Esther, and the two kids. And Esther was the breadwinner, being a dressmaker. I did find out from checking census that by 1920 they had moved up to the West 70s, so hopefully they were doing a little bit better by that time.
It seems to me that Mary reminds you of something, of someone. There's something here that's touched you. Who do these kids remind you of? Is it you?
My father passed away when I was young, and my brothers were young. And yeah, it did sort of resonate with me. And that was very astute. I think I maybe made a little connection there.
Yeah. So what do we know about the way that Mary and Alfred lived the rest of their lives and even died?
Alfred became a printer, but the reason that he's been so hard to track down is by the time he was 18, he was going by his middle name, John. But we haven't been able to really find out a lot about him yet. We found out that he passed away in 65. Mary, however, wound up marrying a man by the name of George McGann. It's spelled a little different, but yes, Mary McGann married George McGann. And he was a federal mediator, and apparently she lived a nice, quiet, comfortable life. No children. And just last week, we were able to find where Mary was buried, and I went over to see her, buried a little Christmas tree by her stone. And now that I know where she is, I think every Christmas I'll go visit and say hi.
Well, it's a wonderful story. It's a true life story.
Yeah.
And you've given everyone something really nice at Christmas to connect to in New York and across the country. So we thank you for it. And what a nice find.
They're my two most treasured objects.
Pete Mataliano, acting coach and screenwriter in the Hell's Kitchen section of New York, West 50th Street, former home of Mary and Alfred McGann. Pete, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
And here's something to take with you today. Chaz Stevens, a secularist blogger and software writer from Deerfield Beach, Florida, is celebrating the season in true Seinfeld fashion this year with a Festivus pole at the Florida State Capitol in Tallahassee. The 6-foot pole is made of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer cans. It's wrapped in rainbow colors, and it stands just down the hall from Governor Rick Scott's office. Stevens also won approval for a Festivus pole display this week in the Oklahoma City Capitol, and he hopes to spread his brand of holiday cheer to Georgia, Illinois, Michigan, and Washington State, too. Someone is going to want to air their grievances for this.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.